The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Themselves will confess their sins. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And with that opening verse, Alex McFarland and Bert Harper welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. I bring up a verse about prayer because probably about 500 feet away from us, Bert, where we are in Fayetteville, North Carolina, there's a stage, there's people flowing in, and we are just moments away from beginning the 2016 edition of Heart and Soul, A Prayer for America.
In downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. We are here. We've been talking about it for months. And it's a privilege to be in your studio, Alex. You're always coming to TPLO and you say, we're here in the studio. I am traveling and experiencing what Alex McFarland experiences all over America with his Comrex and his microphone and in a church near you. So it's good to be with you, man.
Well, you know, the Lord is so good. I know, folks, that the technical side of the show is nothing anybody really needs to worry about. But what I've learned to do is I'm always looking for a place to plug in the internet. We've got this computer. And dear saint of God, Brent Creeley, our engineer, you know, a lot of times when I am on the road, Brent and I are talking about how to get the technical things up and running. But we are in North Carolina, in Fayetteville. Now, just a few hundred feet from where we are is the Veterans Memorial. And Bert, when you and Jan were coming in, I know you landed here at the airport. There is in downtown Fayetteville, because this is a military city.
It is.
Fort Bragg is here, and Pope Air Force Base, the 82nd Airborne. You know, John Wayne filmed a movie here one time.
Which one?
You know, it's one of the ones about the Air Force.
Okay. Well, every, you know, we stopped in about two or three places. Every place we stopped, eat and to buy, we saw the soldiers in uniform. So, it, you know, I knew I was near a base, Fort Bragg.
Exactly.
And what a place to be praying for our country.
Right.
Because these men and women, they are the ones that protect the rights that we have. And praise the Lord that we're able to be here, right, I would say, in the center of military readiness.
Exactly. And just as Fayetteville is so key to our national security, prayer is the key, my dear friend, to our spiritual security. Now, the website, I'm going to give you a website, because wherever you are in America, really wherever you are in the world, you can watch the prayer rally. In an hour, it will begin on heartandsoul.org, heartandsoul.org. Now, Bert, this is the fourth time Bert and I have traveled to do, we've done in Richmond, Virginia, and different places, the spiritual
Georgia.
Town hall meet.
Yeah.
And so what we did, we felt very much led to come to this city. These dear people had a huge prayer rally organized. And right now, you're going to meet somebody in just a moment named Kelly Twiddell, who leads a thing called the Dream Center. Now, this is really going to inspire you. But we're just thanking God for bringing together a whole lot of people, and we want you to join us in prayer. And here's why, because Bert, I mean, think about it. We're just a few weeks away from a major election. We are going to be replacing many of our Supreme Court justices. We're talking about things like foreign relations and terrorism and our relationship with the nation of Israel. We're talking about, frankly, the moral and spiritual DNA of the country. So, folks, on this very significant day, September 16, 2016, do join us in prayer as we, after the show, get straight across the street to the big Heart and Soul prayer rally.
One more thing before we interview someone that we're excited about having with us today. Tomorrow is Constitution Day.
Well, yeah. Praise God, yeah.
Isn't that a neat thing? Here we have the prayer rally and Constitution. And Ben Franklin is the one, when they started that constitutional convention, you know, it was brought up in Annapolis, but then the next year they moved it to Philadelphia. And he was talking, it wasn't looking good because the Articles of Confederation just were not sufficient, and they knew they needed something stronger, but you had those that did not want it at all. But Ben Franklin said, you know, we better pray about that. His words were something like, how in the world can a nation, and I'm paraphrasing it the way Bert Harper does, rise or expect to rise if God's not in it, because he's the one that knows when a sparrow falls.
Right.
That's the God we serve. Hey, Alex, it's the same God that we're going to have this prayer rally in and pray to tonight. And it's going to be mostly prayer. That's the exciting thing about it.
Well, it really is, folks. And, yeah, we're so excited. We're doing the show right now from a place right across from the stage. It's called the Dream Center, the Fayetteville Dream Center. Now, folks, think about this, because wherever you are in America, and I know we have listeners in more than 200 cities right now, you can be used by the Lord to change somebody's life, and the Dream Center is doing that in Fayetteville. Kelly Twiddell is the director, and she's here with us. And, sister, I want to say, number one, thanks for letting Bert and I crash in your office here for a little while. But welcome, and thank you for what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about the Dream Center.
Thank you, Alex. Here at the Dream Center, we do a lot of outreach in the city. 30% of our work is on food scarcity, feeding the poor. 30% of the work is dealing with the homeless, helping them connect to resources, really sewing into them and just walking alongside of them, sharing the hope of Jesus with them. Very exciting stuff. The other 30% is we work with victims of human trafficking and sex trafficking. It affects a large population in our city. We work alongside law enforcement, and we help get these ladies to faith-based restoration programs across the country. So everything in Isaiah 58 that God cares about, that's really what our mission is centered around.
Okay, human trafficking. Matter of fact, it's real close and personal even now, tonight. And y'all have a scheduled meeting every once in a while where you guys work with the police from time to time?
We do. Tonight's a quarterly outreach. We reach out to some of the women on the street. We can't assume that they are oppressed, but we let them know. We know they have a tough job. There's other ways that they could make money. The Lord values them as women and made them to be beautiful. And we just say, hey, we believe in you, and we think God has a plan for your life. Do you want to come get some food and clothing tonight and come hang out a little bit at the Dream Center? So that's what we'll be doing tonight in the late hours.
So we can, after we get through with the prayer meeting, we're going to see some of those prayers being taken feet and hands and becoming a reality, right? I'm excited about that.
Kelly, let me ask you this. How did the Dream Center come to be?
Manna Church, they started the Dream Center nearly 4 years ago, and this is the third year in this building. And really, we just have a passion, along with many other churches that join us in the city, to do outreach and to really share the love of Jesus and all the resources that we have. So I'm sure you've heard of the LA Dream Center. They're in their 23rd year. Pastor Matthew Barnett is over their Dream Center, and we're part of their network. So we take a lot of our ideas from there. But Fayetteville is a niche community, and so we're tackling a lot of things that affect our city.
Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for letting us. But more than that, thank you for what you do. And your husband was in here, so it sounds like a team effort.
It is.
Amen.
Pete and I are in the ministry together. He started Five Sparrows 5 years ago to counter human trafficking, and it's based on the verse in Luke where God doesn't forget about one sparrow.
Okay, so the Constitution and Dream Center have something in common. Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you
for having us here in the office to do Exploring the Word, and God bless you. We're very impressed with the ministry you're doing.
Thanks.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Okay.
God bless you.
We got two microphones and three people.
That's right.
That's right. So thank you very much. We're here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Heart and Soul.
Right.
What a name. And so that is from Covenant Love Church.
I know.
And praise the Lord. Sounds like the churches here really do work together, because Kelly was talking about how, you know, Covenant Love helps them, even though Manna Church is the mother ministry of the Dream Center. We need more of that, don't we, Alex?
Well, we really do. We really do. And, you know, part of the gospel, yes, it's to proclaim the good news, the message that Christ died and he rose again from the dead. And he did. That is the message. But, you know, if you read about the first two or three centuries of the church, many church historians have said, you know, how the church turned the world upside down, and they did. The Roman Empire was much like our own. Life was cheap. It was violent. There was a lot of immorality. But here's the thing. The church won, if you will, yes, because of the message, but because they fed the hungry. They reached out to the poor. They rescued those that were caught in sex slavery. They adopted orphans. They built great families. And we find ourselves in a position very similar to the church in the first two or three centuries. Kelly, I want to ask you this. What inspires Christians to maybe get a fresh look at the gospel rather than just talking at people, really get into the lives of hurting people, which makes people open to Jesus? I mean, what, for all the folks that have come alongside to partner with you and link arms with you, what has inspired them most to do that?
Alex, I would have to say the story of redemption and Christ's restoration in their own lives. They've experienced it, and they want to see that become real for others. And once you pray with people and you see that happen, it's just amazing to see God's hand at work. So seeing others become restored and walk along that pathway is just a fabulous way to walk out, you know, sharing the good news.
And God calls everyone to be ministers. No one is exempt. If you've come to Christ by faith, there's a ministry for you. And usually the Lord will isolate that in an area in your heart that's close to you. And so, you know, I do another program on the weekend, as Alex does as well. Mine is called Exploring Missions, and we look for opportunities everywhere. And this is exactly what we talk about on Exploring Missions, that God opens the door so that he can get the gospel to people who are hurting. And, you know, sometimes if you look, the ministry you guys are having to the prostitutes, let me see, there's a person named Rahab, Mary Magdalene. I think God, it wasn't original with you guys. I think God thought of this idea first.
That's right, Bert. It's very important to him and near and dear to his heart. So we're happy to be the hands and feet here in Fayetteville.
Well, listen, human trafficking is real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to, a lot of other people besides Christians are involved in knowing how horrible human trafficking is. But just because they are does not mean the church does not need to enter in, because we have the message that will deliver them. They may bring them out of the bondage of it, but we can not only bring them out of the bondage, we can bring them to life. And that is so important. So, Kelly, thank you for the work that you and your husband do and Mana Church. We appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me, Alex and Bert.
Yeah, I'm in here too. Yeah, go ahead.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take a lot of questions. This is going to be Fire Away Friday. We're going to encourage you to pray. Heart and Soul is coming up in just, we're going to begin in about 40 minutes. There'll be Bert speaking and Judge Paul Newby from the North Carolina Supreme Court. If you are anywhere in the Fayetteville region, you have time. This will go to 8:30 or 9 o'clock tonight. So maybe you're cruising down I-95. You're listening to AFR right now. Come to Festival Park. It's on Ray Avenue.
And it is easy to find. I found it.
Very easy to find. If you're downtown Fayetteville, you'll find the Veterans Memorial. You're very close. Just park. You're within walking distance. Amazing music, speakers, prayer. But, Bert, I got to tell you this, how this came about. I mean, I'd been praying on where to do our next meeting, you and I. And I don't know, for some reason I had Fayetteville on my mind. I just did. I knew we have a lot of listeners here. So I, this is months ago, I just Googled, I got on the internet, and I put in Fayetteville, NC churches. Okay, top of the list comes one called Covenant Love. Now, there are a lot of great churches involved, like Village Baptist and others. But so I call Covenant Love, and I get this wonderful sister in Christ on the telephone. Her name is Kristen Bryce. And I said, hey, here's the deal. Here's what we want to do. We just want to pray. And she said, okay, September 16th, let's link arms. Okay, that's the music. Bert, take us out. But God put all this together, I assure you.
Bert and Alex in Fayetteville. We'll be back right after the break with more of Exploring the Word.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today, Yael Eckstein brings us a heartwarming story of how Israel loves and cares for the elderly.
When the Holocaust took place, there was no Israel. There was no place for Jews to go to be rescued. Even those who weren't killed by Hitler's Germany had their religious life taken away as they went into hiding or suffered in forgotten ghettos. Today, Israel honors the memory of that tragedy by taking special care of our Holocaust survivors as they enter the twilight of their lives. The Holocaust not only robbed many Jews of their loved ones, but their ability to worship God as well. This year, Israel gave 50 survivors an opportunity that they weren't afforded by the Nazis, their bar mitzvah. These elderly Holocaust survivors were given bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah ceremonies, normally for male and female Jews at age 12 or 13, in an event at the Western Wall on Israel's Holocaust Memorial Day. A number of the survivors cried during the funeral prayer sung by European Jews to commemorate the Holocaust and those lost. It was an especially emotional day for Gal Moshe, an 80-year-old who came to Israel from Poland after World War II. She told Israeli newspaper The Times of Israel, "The memorial prayer moved me particularly as I thought of my family and especially of my mother. I literally cried. It's never too late to give back to those who've had so much taken away from them." This is Yael Eckstein in Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. To receive Yael's Corner each week via email and to add Yael as a friend on Facebook, visit holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Hey, it's Crane coming up on Nothing But Truth. Trump's economic advisor, Steve Moore. Media Research Center's Dan Gaynor on the three most biased stories of the week. And Dr. James S. Robbins on the greatest threat to our national security. Plus, AFN's anchor, reporter Chris Woodward will beat the press. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and we're going to take your phone calls today from Fayetteville, North Carolina. That number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. Again, here in Fayetteville, if you're in the area, a matter of fact, I heard the radio station as I was driving in. My wife located it, and it's a loud, man, it's a clear voice here, Alex.
Hey, well, AFR, man, we're FM, we're clear, and it's coming on strong all over the USA. You know?
And North Carolina right now is the center of a lot of things going on, so the prayer meeting tonight, really, it always has meaning, but that even takes it, I think, a little further.
Well, and folks, please do pray for North Carolina because, look, HB2, which is in the popular media, often called the bathroom bill, look, it's not about persecuting anybody. It's not about discriminating against anybody. But here's the thing, Bert. As I was flying last night, I flew out of Tennessee. I drove from Tupelo to Tennessee and got an airplane to come back home. Got routed through Miami, Florida, which was...
I did not know Miami was between Memphis and North Carolina, you know?
Hey, you know, in geometry back in seventh grade, I thought the shortest distance between two points was a straight line.
They had not been with the airlines.
But here's the thing. I was writing an article that we're going to send to some magazines, but it's about moral law. Now, folks, think about this. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I was writing this article last night about how in the USA and in Europe, and really in the Western world, we have all but discarded the spiritual and moral DNA that had sustained the West for nearly 2,000 years. You can call it the Ten Commandments. You can call it ethics or morality. But here's what we've done. We're to the point, and everyone knows what I'm talking about, that we don't even have the moral fortitude anymore to say that the men should use the men's restroom, the women should use the women's restroom. And look, we have to set up some boundaries so that they're not predators and people of ill will that go in locker room, changing room. Well, here in North Carolina, our governor, Governor McCrory, God bless him, courageous man of God, Governor, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, Paul Newby, many others, they said, okay, look, we're going to be a moral state because, look, our Declaration, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights make no sense in the absence of any morals. But now Hollywood, the NCAA, the sports world, businesses, they're saying, oh, North Carolina is bad. Let's persecute North Carolina. And here's how I would ask everybody to pray. The modus operandi of those that are the anti-God, anti-moral, anti-family, anti-God people, they say, we'll persecute you. We will beat you down till you cave in. And our prayer, part of our prayer is that people would not cave in, Bert. Let me just say this, and I want your response, Bert. And folks, we need to pray. We need to let people know. We need to let Hollywood know. Some things are not for sale.
Yeah. There's some hills to down. There's some things that are non-negotiable. And
that's right.
I'm telling you. If you're wondering what those sounds are, that's my text. And guess how we're receiving the names of the people who have called in today?
Because Brent is texting us.
Oh, Cedra is.
Oh, Cedra's on the board. Okay,
yeah,
great. 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls. And, hey, you're at the Grand Central for prayer tonight at Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay, let's go to Arkansas and talk to June. June, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, Vera. I just love the program. I have a question about the state of Israel. Israel has been returned to the Jewish people, but the nation of Israel is largely secular. Well, when they are judged before God, will they be judged by the law or the new covenant?
Hey, is anybody going to be judged other than what they've done with Jesus Christ, Alex, after Jesus has come and paid the price?
I mean, that is the benchmark now. What did you do with Christ?
That's it. No matter when, no matter where, right?
Exactly. The Bible says that God commends all men everywhere, all people to repent and believe in Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only through Christ. And so for the Jewish people, God bless them. I was in Israel not too long ago, and I know our president, Tim Wildman, goes pretty frequently. I mean,
just every year. I think he's only missed 1 year in the last few years because of the difficulty, right. But he's headed out this coming year, 2017.
Since Israel was reconstituted as a nation in May of 1948, the caller is correct. They are predominantly, I wouldn't say they're a secular state because they definitely believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, it's not a Christian nation by any means. They've not received their Messiah as a nation. However, there are so many born-again believers among Jewish people throughout the world. Right now, there are many, many Jewish believers in Messiah in Israel right now. Some believe there are more born-again Jews in the nation of Israel right now than at any other time previously since the first century.
Okay. 888-589-8840. I believe we have some lines open as best we can tell. 888-589-8840. June, when you think about Israel, we need to pray for them. Again, you go over there, and they are very, I think at this point in time, receptive to what Americans would say, especially those that are believers. Because so many of the believers, we understand God's special relationship with them. And so, therefore, the support that they get, and I think they are open to that. And, so we need to pray for them, seek God, and ask God to do a great work. So make that a matter of your prayer life as well. And speaking of prayer, again, we're here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And tonight we're going to be in Festival Park, and Alex will be speaking, I'll be speaking, but more than anything else, the people are going to be praying. There'll be some music, and then we're going to have an altar call as well. And we just feel like God would, every opportunity. I think that's one reason people from North Carolina really must believe in that, Alex. I know you do it every time. And every Graham, whether it be Billy or whether it be Franklin, they are going to give, they're going to give the invitation, aren't they?
Well, we've got to do that. We really do. And, you know, yes, I think a lot of people in North Carolina have the heart of an evangelist. And, you know, there's a lot.
Wasn't Vance Havner from North Carolina?
And Vance Havner was from a little place called Jugtown.
Man, I'm telling
you. Isn't that amazing? So, folks, the number toll-free nationwide, if you've got a Bible question. Now, Bert and I have been in the book of James. We sort of hit the pause button a little bit. We're in James chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up again on Monday. But 888-589-8840 if you've got a Bible question. But North Carolina has a lot of history. A lot of Christian history, a lot of ties really to the Great Awakening, you know, that goes all the way back to the mid-18th century.
That went all the way from the Savannah, Georgia, all the way up to Boston, Massachusetts, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And George Whitfield was the key evangelist. Jonathan Edwards, you would say the theologian and pastor.
Right.
And it was key. And it preceded the Declaration of Independence, and it had a large part. And then when they started writing the Constitution, a lot of those people were so influenced by the First Great Awakening. It really did. And it started, this is what's amazing, it started from the ground up rather than the throne down. And
exactly.
It really, what was Abraham Lincoln's statement at Gettysburg? And so, anyway, we're excited about that. We've got another caller, and it's Jason from Oklahoma. Jason, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good today.
Good. I've been listening to y'all's conversation today, and I heard you bring up Israel. And I was actually planning a trip to Israel sometime next year. And I was really wanting to know, you know, everybody, when you tell them you're going to Israel, says that it's they just kind of give you this look, and it's pretty dangerous over there. But from what I understand, they keep people pretty safe, especially their tourism, because that's kind of their cash flow. So, and I also wanted to say that I heard you speak on, you know, the new covenant, and that there's more born again believers than there's ever been in Israel, and that's exciting. And I was just wondering, I wonder if they're, do they believe in Acts chapter 2, verse 38? And that's where it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was just wondering, you know, do they believe in that new covenant? And I'll just listen to your answer off here.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. It is safe. We went.
I would
and,
agree.
And they do keep you safe. They are alert. And they usually don't go to those places that are more prone to, you know, to terrorism.
Yeah.
Now, anything could happen anywhere, anytime. So you, in America, it can
you
happen.
You could die in the streets of a major American city.
I want to tell you what Tim Wyman says. They always ask Tim, our president, what about this? Are you safe going to Israel? And he said, well, we get out of New York City pretty quick. That's his answer.
That's
but,
good.
But,
yeah.
Yes, listen, Jason, those that are really born again, it is through Christ. And now we're not talking about, you know, somebody that's going back to the law. I've noticed some Protestants sometimes, they want to go back to the law. Don't go back to the law. Stay with Christ. He fulfilled the law. Not the, and it's a law in our hearts now.
It is. It is the new covenant where the Bible says, I will take away your heart of stone and give you a living heart. The King James says a heart of flesh. You know, Bert, this does bring up a really good point about the fact that the gospel, the core of the gospel is that Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins. We put our faith in Jesus, and our sins are forgiven. And that's the core of the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God draws you to Jesus. At the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell and live within you. For as long as you live, you're indwelt by the Spirit, you're sealed by the Spirit. Now, do they believe 5011 points of doctrine like every denomination somewhere might believe. You know, what's so fascinating about the core of Christianity is that in the essentials, we all have agreement. Son of God died for our sins, rose from the dead, turn to Christ, be saved, believe. But within that core of orthodoxy, oh my goodness, you've got every 36 different flavors of Christian, but the non-negotiables are Jesus, the sinless Son of God, our Messiah, isn't
you,
it?
You want to see what people say about Jesus. The question that Pilate asked is still the question today. What will you do with this one that is called the Christ? Jesus. That is the question then, it is now, and always will be. And regardless if you're in Israel or whether you're in China or the United States, it is Jesus and Jesus alone. Hey, Jason, I hope you have a great trip, brother.
And it's safe.
Yes, it is. And sign up and go with him. Okay, let's go. Let's stay in Oklahoma, and we're going to go to Terry. Terry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Doing great today, Terry. Hope you are as well.
Good. Hey, I have a question that has been on my heart for quite some time. Several years ago, my son fell in love with a young lady, and she is a Mormon. And he converted to Mormonism at that time, and then they married, and now they are a lovely family with two lovely children, one on the way. But one thing I forgot to tell you prior to that was years ago, my son accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and for many years he served and witnessed for Jesus. And then he met this young lady, and like I said, he since then has converted to Mormonism. And I constantly have people who make comments to me about, you know, Mormonism and my son and some things like that, and am I concerned about his fate and so on and so forth. And I just tell them, I say, I know my son's heart. I know that he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and that's what I have to rest in right there. And I just need some confirmation that that he's going to be in heaven with me.
Okay. Terry, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. It is Jesus Christ. There are churches. You know, we talk about denominations. Now, those denominations have some things in common. It is Jesus Christ is Lord. Mormon is not quite there. You would not call them, quote, a denomination. Now, there's a group. They used to be called the Reorganized Church of the Latter-day Saints, and now they're called the Community of Christ. Matter of fact, I was with a group of them down on the Gulf Coast in Mississippi, and they were talking about what Jesus has done. So, and you remember a few years ago, they had Ravi Zacharias to come and speak to them. Yeah. I do believe there's some in the Mormon church, not all, and it doesn't seem like it's too much in the hierarchy, okay,
sure,
that are really moving toward more of a biblical view. I'm praying that will happen. That's what I would pray for your son, Terry. If he knows Jesus Christ as Savior, that is secure. But, you know, it is difficult when they're in that church because it doesn't line up with the biblical model of Christ and salvation by grace through faith.
It really doesn't. We've got a break. This is Exploring the Word. Stay tuned, folks. Bert Harper and I, Alex McFarland, will be back after this break. From heart and soul, the big prayer rally here tonight in Fayetteville. Don't go away. We're back after this brief break.
What does the future hold for the church in America? Everyone has good days just as they have bad ones. Any student in history can tell you that empires and kingdoms go through good times as well as bad. But a student of revival history can tell you what tips the cultural balance between these two extremes. In every generation, the body of Christ has the responsibility of steering the kingdoms of men toward the kingdom of God. How do they adjust this spiritual rudder? Through prayer. Often in past centuries, when the church feels their spiritual senses dulling and their zeal of God dwindling, they turn to prayer. Don't let the rise of apathy and increase in immorality in our culture get you down. Lift up your eyes and your hearts in prayer and seek God with other believers. that he might turn our nation back to him. I'm Bob Bakke, senior pastor of Hillside Church for OneCry.com.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events warning us the end times are near? Explore 10 critical issues facing our world in Dr. David Jeremiah's upcoming book, People Are Asking, Is This the End? On sale worldwide October 4th. Pre-orders available now for a gift of any amount to Turning Point, which include exclusive pre-order bonus offers. Hurry, offer expires October 3rd. Pre-order your copy at davidjeremiah.org today.
When I say the words Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, Climate Change, World Tax, International Courts, Department of Homeland Security, do they mean anything to you? With all that's happening around us, the convergence of local, national, and international events, and the incessant reference to globalism, can you connect the dots? Do you know how these things interrelate and how they increase the importance of our upcoming election? Join me this coming Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Time as we talk about these things and much more on Stand in the Gap Weekend.
Being there is half the battle. 1MillionDads.com exists to help Christian fathers to be present and intentional in the lives of their children. Our hope is to wake up the fearsome wonder that is the mighty man of God and restore him to his role as leader, teacher, and counselor. We'll help you learn and grow as a Christian father. We'll support each other when we fail to be the dad Christ calls us to be. Visit 1MillionDads.com. 1MillionDads.com.
By the way, that's one of the reasons why I appreciate your broadcast as well, Jan. We need people that speak the truth today.
This is Jan Markell, and I try to help you understand the times each week here on AFR Talk. I believe we need to discern the times, and the Bible says we need to contend for the faith. We do that with you every Saturday at 1 and Sunday noon Central Time. Understanding the Times Radio, helping you be a watchman on the wall, Saturday at 1, Sunday 12 Central, here on AFR Talk.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. This is Alex and Bert in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's our joy to be here. We are with heart and soul, Covenant Love Church, and we're going to get started in about 20 minutes, and we're going to walk straight across from the Dream Center to the Festival Park, and we're looking forward to it. So you that are in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, come on down.
Yes.
The price is right, right?
It's free. Come one, free. Come all. And we're going to be in prayer with just people from all over. We're going to link arms and hearts and lives and call out to God. And I do want to remind everybody, we're just weeks away from perhaps the most pivotal election of our lifetime, really. And so we need to vote. We need to cast our ballot, but as we lead up to this, we're going to do what we really need to do, which is pray.
They don't have to have us there to gather to pray, but we're honored that Fayetteville invited us, and we're glad we're here. Let's go to the phone lines, okay?
All right.
We're going to go to this state, North Carolina, and we're going to talk to Wendy. Wendy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding what is known as internal security. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if this is true, is it biblically sound? Because we have a lot of folks where I come from who say, once saved, always saved.
Yeah, and this is a really good question. Let me say this is, and I've got a belief about this, and I want to share that, but I will say this is, in a way, a little bit of a secondary issue, because the primary issue that Christ is the risen Lord and Savior, and through Jesus alone, we're born again. Equally good, godly, Bible-believing people have differed on this issue. I mean, you've got people that definitely do believe in eternal security. You've got some that don't. I do. I'm only speaking for Alex McFarland here. I definitely believe in what we call the eternal security of the believer. Now, sometimes, Bert, the phrase once saved, always saved is kind of a phrase people throw around as if to say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm saved. I'm in. But, Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. Just like this, think about it. A child is born into a family, and that child might obey the parents and make mom and dad proud. Someday that child might disobey the parents, make mom and dad angry. But the child is still their child because he was born into the family. I believe in Jesus said, I give to them eternal life and they will never perish. Nothing can pluck them out of my hand. That's John 10:28-29. So much goes on in the salvation transaction. Positionally, you're in Christ. So when you turn to Jesus, your sonship is determined. Now, if you sin or don't sin, that's not an issue of sonship. That's an issue of fellowship.
It is.
So, Bert, I do believe in eternal security.
I do as well. But I want to tell you something I've come up with. And see, I want you to think about it, Alex. Okay, those of us who believe that you're saved and God has done that work of eternal salvation in your heart, and I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, okay? And then this guy or gal, they go out and it looks like they turn their back on Christ. Okay, some of those that would say, okay, see, eternal security isn't real. We would say they were never saved in the first place, yeah. Because listen to this in 1 John 2:19. Mm-hmm. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Okay? Right. I believe there's no need of having this big argument. Okay? Yeah. There really is not. If I'm in my sin and I'm staying in my sin, and my hope is, well, one day I prayed a prayer and asked Christ into my heart so I can stay in my sin. God forbid.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
That is not biblical salvation, what it says. It says all things have become new. It doesn't mean you won't sin, but it says you don't continue in sin and enjoy it.
Yeah, so, and I mean, if you could repudiate Christ, turn away from Jesus, deny Jesus, and thoroughly throw in the towel, turn your back on Jesus, I would find it hard to believe you were ever really converted in the first place.
So what we're talking about, those that believe they were never saved in the first place, so they're not in heaven, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And those that say, well, they were saved, but then they were lost, they're not in heaven. You catch?
Right.
So don't make it a bigger argument than it is.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not saved by works. We're not kept saved by works. Salvation is a work that God does in us.
But when you are saved, you're His workmanship created unto good works, according to Ephesians 2:10.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And that was Gerald. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Craig. Craig, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you, Craig.
Recently, we appreciate you.
Recently, I have been praying the Lord's Prayer. Because you know, if Jesus prayed it, it was important for him, well, then it ought to be important for me. But I seem like that we just kind of recite it, like not even thinking about it. So I've tried to pray it and think about it.
Amen.
And then recently, y'all been going through, I think, James, and you said that God will not lead us into temptation. But the Lord's Prayer says we pray to God, don't lead us into temptation. So it seems like a... I don't want to say contradiction, but I'm asking, well, what's the difference, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Do you know one thing I would say is that when you've got that request there in the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In a way, it's almost saying, Lord, don't let me fall into such a temptation that I would be overcome by it. But do deliver us from evil. You're talking about the James 1:13, where it says God will not lead us into temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God will not let you be tempted above that which you are able, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. So I wouldn't take from the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that God would have led you into temptation. I think what it's saying is we're asking that He would give us the strength to overcome the temptations that life inevitably will throw at us.
I think there's a biblical example. You remember when Peter said, I'll never leave you nor, you know, deny you?
Yeah.
I'll not do that. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, and God permitted it. Okay?
Yeah.
It was Satan. I'll put it this way. God even uses Satan's temptations to bring about good when we turn from it. Because what did Jesus say to Peter? When you are converted, or when not saved from that, but when you've overcome this, you go and strengthen the brothers. You
exactly.
catch how that is? So in the temptation, God is even able to bring us through and do a great work. So
well, and he told Peter, I've prayed for you. Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Thank you for your call, 888-589-8840. We're going to roll on and try to get every call in possible.
Okay. Is it Ed from Texas next, guys? I hope we're right. Ed? Gerald from Texas. Okay, Gerald, go ahead, brother.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing good. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to say, I was going to start with something, but I have been hearing about the great apostasy, the falling away, okay? And I'm just wondering if there's something else I need to say about it. When God created Lucifer, right? He created Lucifer holy, and Lucifer trusted. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Lucifer was God's angel, and even though Lucifer was bathed in God's love, one day he decided that he walked away from God. His heart changed. And I know, and I fully believe that there are Christians out there who they give their lives to Christ, and one day, because of temptation, they fall and they turn away from God. So not everybody that says you can't say that everybody has not given their lives to Christ, and then one day all of a sudden they didn't give it. They leave God. I think there are some people who have been saved. They've accepted Christ, but one day they have been tempted. That temptation doesn't ever resist. And even though
sure,
God,
let me say this. You know, there was Gabriel and Michael, and there was Lucifer. They were archangels. If you read Isaiah 14 and. You see, Lucifer got prideful. Revelation 12 says there was war in heaven, and the dragon that tried to kill Israel with its tail drew a third of the stars out of heaven, says the book of Revelation. Generally, what scholars understand that to mean is that Lucifer tried to take over heaven, and it wasn't that he necessarily, quote, fell away. He tried to kill God, and rallied, and we don't know how long this went on, maybe a whisper campaign where Lucifer was building his coalition, but Lucifer and his angels were cast out of heaven because they tried to kill God, take over, which, you know, the idea that the creation could somehow eclipse the creator, that's ludicrous, but Lucifer was cast out of heaven, became Satan because of his pride, his sin. Now, how this touches the human race, here's Adam and Eve put in the Garden of Eden. God says, it is good, it is good, it is good. Lucifer could not kill God, so he has made war against the one created in God's image. And here we are, but God knew all about the need for a Savior. Jesus was designated to be the Savior, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so, you know, sin is an interesting subject, but I'll tell you what is a glorious subject is salvation and the Savior who provides it.
Amen. And again, let me just share with you, I'm going to restate it, Alex, because I think it's so important. Because these days when we're talking about those kind of doctrines and we're trying to come to them, and I agree they're important. I'm not saying they're not important. But we have such more issues that are pressing us. You want to just make sure you're saved, okay? Yeah. Make sure you're saved today. Make sure. And that's what is so important. I think now it's Ed's turn. I tried to go to Ed earlier. Ed, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
And I love this show. I have a question for you. I believe it was on Wednesday. I was listening to the show, and they were talking about Jewish people, and someone asked about them. And I think the last thing that was said, it was they were saved by faith. Now, my question is, even though they could have as much faith as they can, how can they be saved if they don't believe in Christ the way we Christians do. Because when the Bible says the only way to get to the Father, to God, it's through Jesus, his Son.
Well, I would say, Ed, you're right. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. The Jewish, and I remember we were discussing that, but it gives great hope to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. They rejected him early on, Alex, because they wanted a political Messiah. A lot of them did.
And let me say, when we say that Jewish people or Gentiles are saved through faith, that's true. But what we mean is it must be the faith affixed to the right object. It's got to be a faith focused on Jesus Christ. So don't necessarily think in terms of big faith or small faith or strong faith or weak faith. What we're saying is you have to trust in Jesus. Mark it down. The scripture is so clear. There is no salvation, period.
There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
From Jesus. So to be saved, Jew, Gentile, Westerner, Easterner, male, female, it doesn't matter. If you want to go to heaven, you have to put your trust, your belief, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid, yes, for the sins of the world, but he paid for your sins, my sins, Bert Harper, for all of our sins. And there comes a point, and maybe someone listening here tonight, maybe you're listening to the program, but today is your day, September 16, 2016. You might be driving in the car. You might be on a train, wherever you are hearing, exploring the Word. Today is the day that you are to turn and put your faith in Christ. And you can do that. We urge you to do it. Simply say, Lord, I believe. I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I trust what you did, and I'm asking you to save me. Wash my sins away. And you call on Christ, and he will hear you. He will forgive you. He will receive you.
And 888 Need Him. They're our friends. They are ready to talk with you, and they have a website, I think. They can chat about Jesus. Yeah.
Cool.
And so you can go and do that if you're one of those internet and you want to chat rather than talk on the phone. But it is 888 Need Him. Listen, we're coming to the close of the program today, and we're not going to be able to take calls from Peter or Ron. We appreciate you guys and hope you guys a call back, and I hope we got everybody in. It was good to be here in Fayetteville today, and we're about to go across the street, aren't we, Alex?
We really are. You know what, Bert, I want to tell you, as we've got a couple of seconds left in the program, earlier in the show there was a word about America and our moral foundation, and we do need to pray. You know, while I was in Nashville not long ago, I had the privilege of going to Andrew Jackson's house called the Hermitage. Have you ever been there, Bert?
I have not.
It's one of the great presidential homes. You know, when he built that great estate, one of the first things he did on the property, he built a church. And that church is there to this day. And from day one, here was one of our presidents, Andrew Jackson, black and white worshiped together in that church.
Amen.
And President Andrew Jackson talked about the fact that we all should, I'm reading a plaque that was there, believe in a Savior, and that by and through him we must be saved. Whether Presbyterian, Episcopal, Baptist, Methodist, or Roman Catholic, let it always be remembered that our excellent Constitution guarantees the freedom to do this.
Praise God.
Christianity, right there from the beginning of our nation, and we need it today.
And that's from the President?
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson. Thomas Jefferson would go to church. Guess where he'd go to church?
I don't.
Ride his horse and go to the Capitol where they was having worship service.
Wow.
In the Capitol building.
Well, folks, pray for heart and soul. Bert and I are here in Fayetteville. We hope to see you here as well.
And next week, be on the Book of James. And we're looking forward to that. Hope you have a great, great weekend. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is real and he is risen indeed. Amen.
Amen.
Tell someone about Exploring the Word, about American Family Radio, but especially tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.